Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Linda Thomas and I are your hosts today. Linda is the founder and president of the National Memorial for the Unborn, and I am the founder and president of An Even Place Virtual Abortion Recovery Ministry. And today we have some special guests with us. We have Annette Crouch and Karen Jenkins, and they are with, tell me the name of your ministry.
Uniquely Abba's Girls.
Uniquely Abba's Girls. Because your email came through as Abba's Girls. That's why I asked you. I want to make sure we had it right. Okay.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
We started out thinking it was going to be Abba's Girls, but there's another Abba's Girls.
Okay.
So you need to be unique. Abba's Girls 23. You know.
Got it. All right. Well, I'm going to let you ladies tell a little bit about yourself, how you got to be where you are here today, you know, how much of your backstory you want to tell, and then just how you got started with Uniquely Abba's Girls and what you're doing. And then we're going to talk about how they do their virtual memorial. And it's absolutely beautiful from the pictures that we've seen. And so we want to share that as best we can with y'all. So Karen, go ahead.
Okay. So as far as my background, I got started, I was thrown into all this. I didn't see it coming. I was post abortive, and I ended up being in a Forgiven and Set Free Bible study at a pregnancy center. And at the time, I thought I was doing okay, and I'd never heard of a post abortion healing or abortion recovery. But I went to a Women's Aglow conference, and there was another ministry there explaining it, and I thought, maybe that's something I should look into. And so I said, I'll just put it on a shelf. And then a pastor friend of mine, she was at the same conference, and visiting her like 2 weeks later, she says, Karen, have you thought about the abortion recovery? And I said, I saw it. And she said, maybe you might want to look into it. So to me, that was a thing of the Lord saying, don't wait, do it now. And there just so happened to be a post-abortion healing class just starting at a pregnancy center where a friend of mine was the director.
Just so happened. I love it.
Yeah, right. Just so happens, right? Just so happens. Anyway. But, I signed up for the class and went through the class. And I was at a pretty good point. I learned quite a bit, but one thing that I realized I hadn't done was grieve the loss of my baby. But after, we went through the class, and it was just, a beautiful experience. The ladies who were leading the class, one of them was leaving. And so I got a call like a week later saying, we've been praying and we've been looking for a replacement, and God said, it's you. So, I was like, oh, wow. And after prayer, much prayer, I joined in and became a co-facilitator for Forgiven and Set Free. That was probably 13, 14 years ago.
Oh, wow. And real quick, you made a comment that I just want to clarify. You said when you went through the class, you realized you hadn't grieved your baby. Did you realize that in the class while you were going through it, and you were able to grieve while you were going through it, or after you were done?
I realized that while I was going through it, because the thing is, I could share. I'd spoken to small groups about, how God, had brought me through, and as a post-abortive woman, I didn't even know that term really, but But in sharing my experience, even like one-on-one, the tears would come, and I would ask, I said, God, why am I crying? I know, that you heal me. What's going on? And so when I went through there were some other things I've learned, but one of the main things was I never really got the chance to grieve.
And that's so true. Do you recall that you stopped yourself from grieving at any point in time, or you just said, I'm just going to put it back here and move on with my life? And so by the time you got to the healing, that was like, oh, I never thought about it, kind of a thing.
Well, the thing is, for me, it's like it's I'm just a I was busy. I was married. I had two kids. I worked full time. I was busy in church, and so I did. Yeah, I'm basically a happy-go-lucky person. I except for when I was going through deep depressions because of my past abortion. But I was in a church that was so loving. That's a whole nother testimony, but I was there and they spoke life into me and healing to me. And so I was in a fairly good place, except I never thought about grieving.
I think that was for me too, is that you just don't think about it and you never have permission and a place to do it. Exactly.
And right. And so nobody ever said, you need to grieve. But those tears would come and I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And so that's what happened. And so I started training for the classes and co-facilitating. And by the way, that's where I met Annette. She'll explain that. You'll explain that later, right? But it ended up that Annette was in one of my classes. I have to say that because the other lady who brought me in, she left, and I began to pray and ask the Lord. And so then Annette came alongside of me as a co-facilitator, and we've been doing this together for about 12 years.
All right.
We didn't have a ministry name. We didn't. But we were doing it. And so a couple of years ago, when I was going through chemotherapy and recovering and stuff like that, I was just praying and before the Lord, and he says, you're Abba's girl, it was just and so I was like, thank you, Lord. It was just one of those love things between me and God. But as we and I so I still personally I still counsel. I still volunteer at a pregnancy center. I am a counselor and a post-abortion counselor at Forestville Pregnancy Center in Marlow Heights, which is in Maryland. And they allow me to do it through Zoom, but I've been doing that for several years. But the things I would talk to different people, and the Lord would just begin to say things to me like, "She's Abba's girl. She's Abba's girl," And I'm like, God, what is going on? And so then out of that, Abba's Girl, uniquely Abba's Girls ministry was birthed in 23, believe it or not. I thought it was started in Maryland, but it happened after I moved to South Carolina, And so I still have a whole lot of work to do on that work, paperwork and stuff. God has just been faithful. And the thing about Uniquely Abba's Girls is just wanting to share and minister to young women who do need abortion recovery. But the Lord said in this, I said, Uniquely Abba's Girls, post-abortion healing. And then the Lord says, and mentoring. And so
Nice.
I'm like, okay, God, how is that going to work? And the thing is, I do mentor young women over the phone all the time from different states, I get phone calls sometimes late at night, just to pour into them and to let them know that they can make it, let them know that God loves them. And the other thing is, just a lot of times young women these days don't know. You know, I was counseling at a this was last month for the pregnancy center, and this young lady tells me, "Oh, I'm a Christian, you know, I love God," and I she begins to share and in tears, and I but yet I have to tell her, "Okay, you have this, you I see you have a love for God, but how do you think he feels about you having sex outside your marriage, outside of marriage, and you're pregnant in a lovely, I have the, you know, but God did it in such a beautiful way, you know, because she began to tell me, well, times have changed, you know, things have changed. And I brought her back the scripture, you know, where the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so just letting her know that we, as a Christians, we want to please God, you know. And the Lord just brought it around so beautifully. So that's basically, I don't know what else to say. I guess more will come.
Oh no, I think that's beautiful, and I love that you're adding a mentorship piece to this. And you know, because it is, I like there are girls coming forward, and they think that sex is okay outside of marriage. They really do, and it needs to be more addressed. You know, we need to be more intentional about addressing that piece, because abortion can happen again if they're still sexually active. And then they get, I mean, they're going to be less prone to want to go through abortion again, have to go on through and healing, but they're in blatant sin. I mean, you know, they're in true disobedience to the Lord, you know. So I think that that's great, that you're doing that.
Well, the thing is, you know, a lot of times in this ministry, you know, we're so interested in, which rightfully so, in saving the baby if we can stop women from having abortions. But you have, but I it's like the Lord has have us dealt with the whole deal with the whole woman, you know. And that to me is just is just so important, and sometimes I believe gets left out.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing all that. All right, Annette, we'd love to hear your story and how you got here.
Okay. Well, my church was having a community day, and the pregnancy center, Forestville Pregnancy Center, came with a table, and they just talked about, you know, what they do. And I said, I think I want to do that. So I went there and applied for counseling, and of course, the question came up, have you ever had an abortion? I said, yes, but I'm okay. He said, well, you have to go through it.
Oh, we're
They
all
went, no,
okay.
you're all okay. He said, no, you have to go through the class, the post-abortion class. And I said, oh, okay, all right. So I went through the class, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, I'm fine. I'm healed, you know, covered by the blood of Jesus. So what's going on here? So in one of the sessions, the word murder came up, and it hit me. I murdered my child. I killed my child. It just stood out, and it became real at that moment that I had murdered my child. So I came off of that self-righteous high horse, humbled myself, and took the class with such a, you know, a receiving spirit. And yeah, and realized that, wow. I said, okay, Lord, thank you, you know. And then I became a counselor, and you know, started counseling the ladies, and my job kind of moved me away, so I couldn't counsel as much. And then Karen gave me a call, and of course I said, who, me? Are you kidding? Me? No. So I agreed, and here we are.
That's awesome. And so when you came to that realization that you murdered your child, and you said there was like a humbling that happened, and you really pressed into the study at that point, what was it like for you when you came to the memorial and you were naming your child and going through that whole process?
It was freedom. It was freedom. I put like a name to it. I put identity to what I had done. And it came a part of my life. I guess like a lot of women do, we just push it aside and flush it and it has never happened, but it happened. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm not ashamed. And it has a name. I don't remember the name now, but I have it written down. But it has a name. I felt good. I felt good. I felt good that I gave it a, I gave him a decent memorial.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Knew at that time that he was with God, but now that he is properly, for the sake of human, you know, humankind, he's buried a proper way. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, and that's perfect because we're going to talk about what you guys do for your virtual memorial. Now, were you always doing virtual, Karen, or were you doing in person for a while together?
No, that I mean, we were doing it together in person for years.
Okay.
But the virtual memorial came up. It's another thing. I get baptized by fire. Okay.
Jump in the deep end.
You know, the Lord just throws me in it, you know, and I guess maybe that's what I need. I don't know. But I was at about 12 years ago, or 10, maybe 11 years ago, I was at a heartbeat conference, and it was in Charleston, South Carolina. And there was a young lady who I knew in Charleston. And so I just called her while I was there just to say, hi, you know, I just wanted to let you know I'm here in town. She says, oh, I want to come and see you. So she came to my hotel room. And and we started talking. I tell her why I'm here, you know, and what, you know, and then share my testimony with her and, you know, but share what I did as far as counseling and that what Heartbeat was about, you know. And so she gets quiet, you know, on me. And I look at her. I don't remember. She told me, I said, she, Karen, you looked at me. You said, do you have something to tell me? You know, and I know I knew I wouldn't have said that if it wasn't the Lord. The Lord just
right.
You know, and she shared that she had had an abortion. So you're the only person, you're like the second person that knows that about me.
Wow.
And so, and she said, yes. And I told her, I said, look, you know, I don't know how we'll do it. I said, but if you want counseling, you know, I can help you. If you need help in healing, I can help you. She said, okay. Hadn't heard from her. I saw her one time before at another conference in Columbia, South Carolina. And just sort of reminded her to say, whenever you're ready, you know. Mm-hmm. She said, okay. Well, 10 years later, she calls me and she says, Karen, I'm ready. Mm. She said, God told me to, I need to deal with this. And I said, okay, how are we going to do this? And of course, you know, this was like right after the pandemic.
Okay.
So Zoom had become the big deal and big thing.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't have Zoom before the pandemic.
Right. You're not. So, I didn't.
No harm to anybody, right?
No.
excuse me. But anyway, I said, okay. I said, we'll work something up, you know, and I'll get back to you. And I think I called Annette. I said, look, get ready, you know. Mm-hmm. and then I was sharing with my pastor. Pastor Faith, because at the time I was going to a church in Maryland, Pastor Pete and Pastor Faith. And I was sharing with, she says, well, you know, I have a friend who might be interested, that needs this. I'm going to let her know. She says, she probably won't think she needs it, but I'm going to give her, is it okay if I give her your phone number? I said, sure. And so her friend called me and she was like, you know, she wasn't sure if she needed it. But once I began to talk to her, explain to her, she said, okay. And so that was our first. We've only done it twice.
Okay.
Okay. That was our first Zoom meeting.
Okay.
And, you know, and we didn't know how it was going to, we had to learn Zoom. I mean, I knew how to do, but we had to like learn it better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it was something else because so with the Forgiven and Set Free handouts and stuff like that, we would email them, to the ladies in that first group. And but the thing is that God was just so faithful. I was in awe. We were in awe how he moved these Bible studies,
Over the virtual space, is that what you're
Yeah,
referring
over
to?
the virtual
Yes.
space. Yes, over
Yes.
the virtual space. And there were just times when we just could not hit the leave button because his presence was so powerful. And it was just awesome.
So
It was.
tell us what you decided, because when we do memorials, and ours is different, and because you guys, it looks like you're still kind of setting it up, and so I want you to walk us through that whole thing. But the first time I did a memorial of a virtual, that was what was really got me, is that it was the virtual or the in-person part of the memorial. Like, I was fine with the group being on virtual, but the memorial seemed like it had to be in person. So it really bothered me, and when I figured out how I was going to do it going forward, it turned out to be beautiful. But I'd love to hear how you guys are doing it, because you're still creating the memorial space for them, it looks like.
Yes, we are. Yes, we
Okay.
are. We prayed because I was like, God, how am I going to do this? I know what I was used to doing, but he. So I did. He was. He just showed me how to do it. I did. So I still created, like you said, I still set it up. I created the certificates of life. For the women. And we had it in the first one, it was right here where I am now, was in this space that I am in now, And so we had a guest speaker, a local friend of mine who came to speak. And I had set up this I had set up this table like I did, for the like what you see, the pictures that you saw. This is a bigger table. But I set that up, and one of the women was local, so she was able to come to my home. Annette came,
Nice.
and my speaker was local, and when we got together, the music, and we learned how to do the music over Zoom, Well, we had one hiccup, but it was okay. We had backup that they because you learn on the fly, you do learn on the fly. And so then the young lady from South Carolina, I had set my computer up to face the table. Okay, and to in the place where I was going to stand, every little thing, where I stood, what so was the least. To be sure that they saw everything, that they were able
Everything.
everything. The young lady from South Carolina, I'm trying to think if I mailed her certificates and stuff. No,
They already had them.
the first time they didn't.
Oh,
No,
okay.
they didn't. I had them here. But she came, I told her she can invite whoever she wanted. She invited her mom.
Okay.
And so I made sure that whatever I did, like when it came to her doing a tribute, for her baby, she would give the tribute. And as she named it, I was lighting candles for her. And I think I had her have a
Okay.
candle there to light one as well, And so I would light the candles for her, and I mean, didn't, so everything was done just so nicely. We also had a program, and I think I did email the program to her, so she was able to,
Okay.
they're
That's
able to
nice.
follow along.
So if you could pause for just a minute, what I want to do is I want to I'm looking at the pictures that you sent me. And since the people listening can't see the pictures and see how beautiful you have this set up, I want to try to describe it best I can so they can kind of get an idea of the layout of what you did here. And so she has a beautiful white tablecloth, and on it she has a mirror. What do you call that? A mirror, like a
just a place setting that is a mirror.
Okay, thank you. Place setting, and then on it she has a candle for each child, and the name tag that you have in front of each candle, is that the child's name?
That's the child's name. Yes.
Okay, and then she has and so those are in little like teacup. Almost teacup light lit, maybe a votive size.
Votive size candles, yes.
Yes. And then she has some roses laying around. And then I see a tall candle here on the mirror.
Yeah, and that tall candle represents the light of Christ.
Okay, so there's a taper and then there's a tall candle. So mm-hmm. What are this? What's the taper for?
the taper is just part of the decoration. I use that as to take that taper candle to transfer the light of Christ.
Oh, okay.
To the motive candles of each child represented.
Okay, that's fancy. I like that. So you use that to light the candles, and then you have a large candle that represents the light of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you have actually two decorative candles sitting in some very beautiful little glass decorative.
Yes.
There's red candles. What are those for?
Decorations.
Just decoration. Okay.
Yeah, and they're red because of the blood of Jesus.
Ah, okay. That's good. So everything means something.
Yeah, everything means something. Yes.
Okay. And then you have a vase with some beautiful flowers in it. Little lilies is what they look like. Is that correct? Go ahead.
Just admit, the thing is the whole thing is when these women, because they don't know what to expect for the memorial,
right?
And when I do it, I sort of want to honor them as well.
Yes,
you know. And so when they come and see that tape set, they're just like, oh my goodness, you know. They're just, you know, in awe themselves, and they're like, oh, it looks so pretty, you know.
Yes, and it is.
And I just want to do something special for them.
Yes, and it is beautiful. And so when they come in, so you have them. Most of the time they're coming in sitting on the virtual space, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us what's the first thing that happens, and just walk through those steps that you're doing at that point.
Well, I usually have some background music, you mm-hmm. know, when they come in, and we have our program, and so usually Annette will probably open up in prayer, okay. And read scripture, and then let's see, I should don't have a program in front of me, but
it's okay.
They open up in prayer, read scripture, and we also have I explain the memorial,
okay,
to the women and what it means, you know, and let them know that they'll have an opportunity to honor their child. And going down the program, Annette is my songbird, so
so that's a song.
Do you sing?
She sings, yeah. And so, you know, I've always asked her to have a song ready. And so, you know, she sings a song for the women. And then we have the time of the, oh, no, we have
tribute.
The tribute, yes. Mm-hmm. And
what's the tribute?
The tribute is when the women speak on behalf of their child as a memorial.
Okay. Do they get an opportunity to think about what they're going to say before they come in?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
We prepare them. We probably like two meetings before the memorial.
Okay.
You know, and so we let them know because we go through the names, and because they have to get a lot of information back to me. I give them a lot of paperwork. They give information back to me, you know, and they know. So by this time, they know there's going to be a memorial, but they don't know what it's going to be like, you know. So they're in a lot of anticipation, and you know,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a tough balance to know how much to give away beforehand,
Yes.
so they're
Yes.
prepared, and how much to
Yes.
have that element
Yes.
of surprise. Yeah, that's a
Yes.
balance, isn't it?
And so, and you know, and we never know what to expect, you know, because but God just moves, you know, as they honor their babies. And after they do that, and then I read each certificate of life for each child.
Okay. And so when they do their, when are you lighting the candles? When does that all happen at once or as they read?
No, they're doing their tribute, and then after they say what they're going to say or do what they're going to do, then we I read each certificate, and we light the candles as we read for each name.
Okay. Okay. And then after you read the certificate, what's happening next?
Okay, and then after all the tributes are done, and we say that'll be, we sort of announce, and that might announce it, this is the end of our memorial, and we have a guest speaker. So now we will have a guest speaker, you
Oh,
know.
okay. And
And
what are you instructing that guest speaker to speak about?
to encouraging these women who have come through the process.
Okay.
Usually it's
Now,
about
that's one thing that I love about the in-person groups, is that we often have a pastor do that guest speaker, and it gives validity and weight, you know, to their grief to have a pastor do it. And that's one thing I've missed about virtual is because we haven't done that in virtual, having that other component of having somebody come in. I love that.
You know, we sure haven't, and it doesn't mean that we couldn't do that.
No,
You
that's
know,
right.
we
Yeah,
still
you're
could do
right.
it. Yeah,
You can Zoom do it.
I just haven't given much thought to doing that. But yeah, we, how long do you let this person speak for, do you think?
About 15 minutes.
Okay. And so your whole memorial, how long is it roughly?
Is it about an hour?
I would say about an hour. Yeah,
Oh,
because we have
okay.
refreshments afterwards. Yeah.
We have I tell them bring refreshments.
And okay, bring it to their spin, and y'all drink some coffee or something. Okay. Okay, that's cute. That's cute. And how long do the women have during their tribute time? What do you tell them?
I tell them 5 minutes, but if about 10, the longest. Because sometimes there's one baby, and then sometimes there's four babies.
Right. That's
You
true.
know, so I try to keep it, but yeah, but they've managed to keep it. They do pretty good, but then sometimes there's things that are unexpected. I said, and with virtual, we just learned, Annette and I, we've learned to be ready for anything. You know,
But Karen, tell them about the second one because that's more unique than the first one.
yes, the second one, oh my gosh, this was this year. It was unique because there were some challenges that we faced. These women, first of all, they didn't have a lot of money, you know, so I purchased their books for them. Their internet service, one of the internet service was really bad, and didn't have printers. You know, one of them didn't have a printer, so we would mail stuff to her, you know. And then you had, even like during the Bible study, and this is where I felt Annette and I were being trained again because of just the times that we're in, you know, and the young ladies that we're dealing with. One woman was in her 60s, but then we had another woman in her 30s with three children, and she had a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old, I think. And you know, they're both they're she, they're running in from work trying to get food on the table, and you know, trying to get their children ready for bed, and then they're coming in. They're not at a desk. One is at a desk, but the other one's not. She's laying on her bed doing this. You know, and I think I shared this with you, Mindy, but Linda would get a laugh out of this. You know, I'm talking and ministering, and girlfriend lays, she's leaning on her bed and she just starts to peel off her eyelashes. You know? And so I just start laughing. And I said, girlfriend, you take your eyelashes off. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no. I said, thank God we're not religious.
Yeah.
But the Lord was just, and you having a three-year-old running in, mommy, mommy, you know. But the Lord just let us know that this is what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be put off by it.
Yeah. Virtual does require some flexibility, doesn't it?
Sure.
Flexibility
does.
And some mercy. And it's like, Lord, this doesn't even package well. You know?
Yeah. That's right. Well, let's quickly go back because we have an interview coming up soon and I want to make sure I don't keep her waiting too long.
Right.
So you, after your guest speaker, tell us what happens next in your memorial.
Oh, after the guest speaker, I read a prayer between the prayer of the aborted baby and Father God.
Oh, okay. The conversation.
The conversation.
Yes. Yeah. That's a nice one. Okay.
And that just really touches their hearts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, and then after that, you know, we pray out, right, Annette?
Mm-hmm.
We pray out after that.
I talk
to the ladies and ask them, you know, so what are you feeling? What's going on? You know? And they're just like, wow, right, Annette? I mean,
yes. But I wanted to say about the second memorial that I did a mirror to you. So you had the memorial decoration, and so did I.
Yes,
so
she whenever, did.
That's the point I wanted to say about the memorial. Yeah,
yes.
I had the same thing you had. Yeah.
So yes, you sent all the items to them that you had. You showed me in the pictures.
No. Annette had a setup at her house, mm-hmm. you know, because I asked her to do one of the other ladies.
Okay.
You know, so she set up her table like mine.
So you mm-hmm. both had it set up.
Yes.
I see. Nice. Okay.
So when she you know, introduced the other young lady and called off her names and light lit her candle, you know, for her. And that was just such a nice touch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the ladies are bringing in coffee or tea or whatever they're bringing in, and you're just sitting afterwards and you're just sort of sitting in the afterglow talking about it. That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How long is that time usually?
Oh, that could be 30 minutes. It could be, you know, it's not a set time.
Okay.
Per se, 30 minutes could be another hour, you know, but
yeah,
I don't think, has it lasted an hour in that?
No, never lasted an
that
hour.
Never lasts an hour. No,
okay.
But
right.
You know,
yeah.
It's about 30 minutes, you know, we sit and talk. And,
all right.
And
then you're done for that week. And then you come back the next week and you do chapter 9?
Yes. And the chapter 9 is the acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do the acceptance. And we don't spend as much time, you know, in the chapter per se, you know, we do talk about it, but they still want to talk about the memorial service, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you debrief again in chapter 9 and just talk about, you know, what happened and how, because a week goes by, it's a lot of time to really think and let stuff sink in.
Yes. And also, because of the mentoring part of it, I mean, the thing is, they said, we don't want this to end,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they're like, you gotta keep calling us. We gotta do something else. And mm-hmm. so that's where we're working on that right now, because we're like, Lord, what does that look like? You know?
We've had some great interviews on that recently, so you'll have to go back and listen to some of the recent interviews on the podcast, as we have been dealing with that topic. And I think I love it when God's doing something. He just does it here and there, and it just pops up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us are talking about that right now as the next steps. Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Karen, did you tell Mindy about the one of the ladies in our last session was miscarriage and didn't wanted to
oh
stay?
yeah, so
Oh.
that's why I said we were in training and we get thrown in and stuff. We started out with three women, and two of them were in their 30s, young kids. One was 65. But I somehow, I don't know how we got misconstrued. I thought she had an abortion. She had a miscarriage. She said, but abortion somehow came up. So she ended up in our group, right?
Oh,
And
wow.
so when we start realizing that, and I'm talking and saying and asking questions, this is like in our in orientation. And so I said, we'll probably have to do another group or meeting for you, And she's like, okay. But the other ladies are like, no, she had a loss too.
Yeah, the loss. Yeah.
And
That's great.
so we were, I
She's
said, I said, okay, all right, Lord, you're gonna have to lead us through this.
Yeah.
And one of the other girls end up dropping out because she is going through a nasty, terrible divorce, and the timing was not right. So she's waiting for the next meeting. So we had this one who had had an abortion, several abortions, and then this one who had one miscarriage. And but God was just so, we were mentoring and we were ministering at the same time, at the same time.
Yeah.
And these two had so much in common.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And
And
so
Linda, didn't you just have this happen last year?
I love how to see how God puts people together. It's just incredible. They start ministering to each other. It's like you're just
Yes.
synchronicity. Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But didn't Linda, didn't you have a miscarried lady in your group and an aborted lady in your group last
I
year?
actually had two that they all had abortions, but two that had also had miscarriages. And they requested to do the memorial service to include their miscarried babies as
Yes, that's
well.
what we did.
And we did do that, and it was powerful.
It was powerful. That's what we did. Yes. And so, yeah, it's just be ready for anything,
That's great. Well, ladies, I have so enjoyed just spending some time with you and hearing more about your stories and what you're doing. And I'm so thankful that you shared all this because it gives me ideas, about maybe how to tweak and change and do things differently potentially. And I hope it does everybody else who's listening. So thank you for taking the time out and spending it with us.
Thank
You're
you for the
welcome.
invitation. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much. And nice meeting you,
Thank you.
Linda.
Thank you for